Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Welcome back in as we are live here back. Hopefully everybody enjoyed the holiday back here on The Drive. The gang is all back. Clint Sterner's in the building. If you're looking at us on YouTube and Twitch, you can see the electric Tyler Milner as he's producing this thing and Harlem shaking here. Didn't know you had that in your bag, but you learn new things all the time.
I was looking down. Let me see again.
Got to keep you on your toes.
I was looking down. Hey.
Electric.
There it is. Electric. And your guy, Ron.
The dip with it was nice, too.
Is in the building. A guy out there keeping at your heart here, Clint. Keep doing this thing, sources say, according to Adam Schefter. Texans are signing backup quarterback Davis Mills to a one-year, fully guaranteed $7 million contract extension. Mills is now tied with the Texans through 2026. So that is the latest there. It's Davis Mills. Davis will get 15 good years out of this if he wants it. I mean, it is there.
It don't get much better, man. He's backing up a young quarterback that, knock on wood, stays healthy the majority of the time. Shoot. It's absolutely beautiful. Best job in America.
Yeah, so good for him as he is there with the Texans through 2026. So congratulations to him. Some other news here, and this is short but sweet, coming from the head coach of your Houston Texans. We looked at the roster, the initial 53, when it came out and wondered, they cut a lot of guys in the secondary. They've got the Jimmy Ward situation. They've got the potential injury situation with Gardner Johnson. They let a lot of guys go, and they looked a little light back there. Well, here is D'Amico Ryans commenting on the Gardner Johnson situation.
Yeah, CJ is doing really well, progressing fine. We expect him to be ready for week one.
All right, you heard it there. He's expected to be ready and in the lineup for week one. Clint, CJ Gardner-Johnson, he was, I would say, between him or Christian Kirk, the number one addition to this team in the offseason. And this is a big thing for D'Amico and this offense, or I mean, certainly this defense, that Gardner-Johnson not only was able to get through that injury scare, in which we initially thought may be a long-term deal, to now he is going to be there week one.
Yeah, I think it's huge, Ron. I think when you look at this team, we've mentioned it several times today and many times over the last couple of months. This is going to be a defensive-driven team. They need all their pieces. They need all their pieces. Every piece that got them to where they were last year with 10 wins, second round of the playoffs, one of the better defenses in the league, all of the pieces that they signed this year to come in and be difference makers, starting with C.J. Gardner-Johnson, as well as E.J. Speed at the linebacker position, Sheldon Rankins at the interior defensive line position. You know, that there's some guys that they drafted I think are going to end up getting some run. The new faces, they need all these guys healthy because this is going to be a defensive-driven football team. And I think C.J. Gardner-Johnson is a critical piece. If you look at it tangibly and intangibly. Intangibly, he's a vocal leader. He brings the juice. He's a guy that you know, he forces guys around him to raise their level of play to his, to raise their level of intensity to his, and he's got that ability to do that, you know, authentically. And so, intangibly, he's super important. And then you look at the tangible side of things, he's just able to do a lot on the football field. You want him to play safety? Cool. You want him to play nickel defender? Cool. You want him to rush the passer? He can do that. You want him to man up on a tight end? He's going to give you a good shot there. So he's got the ability, one of those kind of hybrid nickel defender safety type of players that allows you to do some different exotic coverage. You put him on one side and Jalen Petrie on the other side, or him on one side and Kamari Lassiter on the other side, Ron. Now you've got the ability to roll eat your safeties either way. You can play all kind of coverages, and you know who wins in that deal? Kalen Bullock. Kalen Bullock now can disguise and run and cover and do the things that he does at a high rate. So, look, I think C.J. Gardner-Johnson being healthy and ready for week one, it's a godsend given what we thought. The reports that came out of there when he first hurt his leg. So it's big to have him back, big to have him. If D'Amico, of all people, feels comfortable enough on a Monday to say C.J. Gardner-Johnson is going to be there, for week one, then you got to feel good about it, man. This is a big play here for the Texans,
no doubt. And again, Clint, when the injury happened and we thought they were going to be staring at MJ Stewart and have to do some things around, we didn't say, like, all right, this is an injury that is going to change everything that they want to do over there, but it just kind of takes away some of the exotic luxury things that they could do. And Clint, really against teams like this is when you really want to have everything at your disposal. Like, yeah, they'll be all right against the Titans. They'll be all right. They'll be all right against, you know, probably the Colts, some of these other teams. But when you start going against play callers like McVay and the weapons that they have with Stafford as a quarterback, you know, a guy who put on 40-plus against the Bills, who put up, you know, high-scoring games in his career for this team, you want to have everything that you can do to confuse people and to have the best guys you have out there. So especially for these type games, it's big to have the full group out there, the full talent out there to be able to go against these type teams.
Absolutely, man. You want to have the entire playbook at your fingertips, and you want to have guys that can go out there and execute it. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson is a veteran that when it comes to the playbook and being able to have it wide open and execute it all and be responsible enough to communicate it all and ultimately execute it cleanly without any bust, C.J. Gardner-Johnson gives you the best chance to do that. So him being healthy, again, it's just a weapon in D'Amico Ryan's toolbox, if you will. I mean, there is, whether you're talking about game planning, if you're talking about specifically game planning for an offense or specifically for a player, or you're talking about an adjustment at halftime in the locker room, having all of his pieces, having everything at his fingertips, D'Amico, that is, it's absolutely paramount. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson, I would say, is one of your top two or three guys, not on the defense, because you got Derek Stingley Jr., you got Danielle Hunter, you got Will Anderson. You've got some different animals out there in terms of importance. But when it comes to being multiple, being hybrid, the ability to adjust, the ability to be exotic, C.J. Gardner-Johnson is a big part of that.
No, he is. He is. And like you said, boy, thought that cat was going to be going for the year. Mm. And he is.
Living right.
Yeah.
Living right, baby.
They are. All right, it is game week. And I'll be honest, fellas, I am super excited. I know there's, you know, some teams like, you know, like the Broncos, they're starting at home against the Titans, right? I know there's some teams like, hey, baby, let's get an easy dub. Let's get in here and get a game where we can handle the opponent. But what I am really intrigued about is, yes, it's early and you know, whatever happens in the game, Clint, won't be a sign of what it is to come. You wouldn't think, like, it's not a death nail. There's 16 more games left. But Clint, I think we are going to learn a lot about the things, at least early where they are right now. We're going to learn a lot about the things that we have either questioned or really had thoughts about moving into the season. We talked about it earlier in the show. We're going to learn about the biggest questions on this offense, the play caller and the offensive line, because the Rams present a real challenge in both of those spots. And coming out of this game, you know, if they were playing, you know, the Saints or something like that, all right, you know, who knows, right? But now we're really going to know a lot of where they are right now and how far they've got to go when you look at those two spots, because the Rams, D-line, pressure, and from, you know, a standpoint of, you know, a new coach going up against a formidable defense, we're going to learn a lot about those two things.
Yeah, look, there is no
wait to see.
It's going to be absolutely beautiful, man. It is a, and I'll be honest with you, I think it's a good, because, you know, we talked a little bit about Arch Manning earlier. Like, I don't know that I want to come out of the chutes and play the best the league has to offer. Like if I'm Matthew Stafford in that offensive line, I don't know that I want to come out of the chutes and face Will Anderson off one end and Danielle Hunter off the other. But I also don't, to your point, don't want to face a pushover. I think this is going to be a really good test for the Texans. I think it's a test that, Ron, I don't think they're going to be overwhelmed. right? I guess the overwhelming factor, I think, is a little bit lower than if there were some other fronts up there. And I'm not knocking Verse and all these guys. They're really good. Don't get me wrong. They're a really good front. But there's no Chris Jones over there. There's no Myles Garrett over there. You know, there's no T.J. Watt over there. There's no Micah Parsons over there. You know, it's there's some really, really good players that are going to be a really, really good challenge that if the Texans are as good offensively as or at least as confident as D'Amico is in them, then we should be okay. So it's going to be a really good challenge.
Yeah, it's a good enough challenge to where you'll know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'll know where they are right now. Yeah. Again, not that it's going to be an end-all, be-all of what they are. It's just a good gauge. Because right now, we said it earlier, Clint Tyler, I really don't have a great gauge and idea of what we're going to see from the offensive line and the coordinator coming up. Like, we've seen some preseason stuff. I don't know, but obviously, you know, the opponent wasn't going like they would go. And hell, I don't think Nick Haley was going like he would go. Only thing we learned that they're going to be committed to running the football, it seems. By what they've said and what they've shown. But still, you just don't have a real understanding of what it's going to be, right? And again, like I said, the first game doesn't mean anything. Hell, last year, I thought this team's offensive line for what they did in that first game against the Colts were going to be much improved. Yeah. Much improved. They ran it, threw it, whatever. And then obviously that went to hell in the handbasket very quickly. No. So it doesn't mean that it's the end all be all, but that is space. And then I think on the other side of the ball that I'm excited about is we believe this defense is going to be I think we've said at worst to me it feels like a floor of a top 10 defense.
Oh yeah,
the floor of
if
nine.
If this isn't the top 10 defense in the league this year, Ron, we're gonna as Texans fans, I think we're gonna be sad.
Or somebody's been injured. Sad. There's been injuries. If it to key people, but we feel like it's probably more of a top 5 defense, and has a chance to be the best defense in football, and they're going up against a pretty good offense and a pretty good offensive play caller. To where I do think we get in here, we know a lot more about what the defense brings to the table just because we've seen them the last few years. But if they go up there and they're able to handcuff the Rams like we've seen them do in practice, and we see that, then it's like, oh, hold up now. This thing could be really, really crazy of how good this defense could be.
That's a good point. The matchup on both sides of the football is a really good matchup. It's going to be very telling, but I think it's fair for all of us Texans fans to have high expectations. Like, I expect our offensive line to have a pretty damn good day against this defensive line. I expect our defense to have a pretty damn good day, be able to cover some really good wide receivers, and be able to knock the hell out of a quarterback that's hurting. Like, I expect that I think that's fair to expect. Now, if that D-line goes out there and doesn't get home as much as we've been watching them get home over here at practice.
Yeah, or we see that Davante Adams or Puka is taking advantage covered guys. Yeah. Then we'll see, like, okay, all right, there's some things. But they come out here and they hold them jokers down to 10 or something like that. And they get pressure on him, and he's running for his life. And you could see the combination of the pass rush and the secondary, and it's that nasty that we're gonna be looking at this thing like.
Agreed.
So this is a perfect gauge. This is better than running into the Browns, and obviously they got some players, but you pretty much know you're probably gonna kick their ass. This is a situation where you are going to learn a ton about this team. That was, as we said, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610. It is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. When Tyler started playing that CBS music, I just felt like Well, might as well get this one off here. I mean, he went right in and got
felt
us,
right.
And got us ready for this this bad boy. Oh, do we know who the broadcasters are going to be for that game yet?
Ooh, maybe. I'm gonna check.
Texans, Rams?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I know we know. Yeah, it's out.
Oh, it's out.
I
mean, oh.
I remember Sean talking about it.
I feel like if it was Jim and Tony, we'd know. Although, like, it's got to be one of the better matchups that CBS has this weekend. Because obviously, like, Ravens and Bills are Sunday night. It's got to be one of the top matchups this week. So they should have probably either him or Ian Eagle on this thing. All right, coming up, a little real or fake. I pose a question. You tell me if it's real or if it's fake. We'll discuss that. Have fun coming up next right here live on the Drive.
This is Drive Time, isn't it, back in Houston.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Real or fake coming up here in just a bit. Ocho, who I'm certain Ocho listens to this station from 6 a.m. to 11. I mean, it feels like it. Listens to it and has some sort of a computer, phone, or something where he can get text in all the time.
Pendergast to rock the show.
I'm telling you, hell with that. Scratch that from Pendergast to Ajani, Creighton, and Santiago. Cause he'd be hard on their text line as well. So, but he said, I personally think the Texans will be more bend but don't break defense. Listen, there is no chance in hell. Again, if that is the case, that there have been some serious there is nothing about D'Amico and the talent that they have, Ocho, that says bend but don't break.
Take the drive.
I can't get there with that one, Ocho. Sorry, man.
They got pushed. They got pass rushers all over the place. Corners who they feel comfortable to play on islands. They got a ball hawk in the middle of the field and Chris and Bullock. Like that just nothing about them screams bend but don't break. That was that Romeo system.
Yeah, that would be that'd be an interesting approach with what they've got, the personnel they've got.
Deluxe nut package.
Now there is no doubt, I don't think I would refer to it as a bend don't break, but there is a no doubt that D'Amico Ryans can be multiple in the secondary because he's gonna believe that he can get pressure and or stop the run with his down four. I think he's going to go in the season believing that. So, you know, if you want to call that bend, don't break, and keep everything in front of you, that's fine. But I think there's going to be a real pressure element to the squad this year, a real exotic, to this squad this year that's like we had never seen here in Houston.
You got to be thinking anytime you play the Texans, here they come. They're going to be on our ass. Here they go. Mm. And they can do it with blitzing or not blitzing.
You're going to get hit hard if you're playing against us.
That's real. It's really low and creepy when he said that a little bit, too. Like, that was girl six, kind of like, you're gonna get hit real hard if you're coming out to play with us. That was a little something else. Let's move to real or fake. Text line 713-572-4610. YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in. I'll make a statement. You let me know if it's real or fake. The Cowboys, Clint, still have a shot to make it into the playoffs in the NFC, even without Micah Parsons. Real or fake?
You're
thinking about it.
Yeah, look, I don't know how much not having Micah Parsons changes what the Cowboys are able to do. Let's be honest. They've been really good in the regular season.
Weak ass Cowboys.
I don't know how much that swings. Like, boy, what did you really think the Cowboys had a chance to make a run at a Super Bowl? Now all of a sudden, you don't. I didn't believe that then, and I don't believe it now.
What about just the playoffs here?
What's your point?
Do they have a real chance to get in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
you think so?
I think they'll win a bunch of games. I think they'll. You know, they'll be the typical same old Cowboys. They'll be filming videos on Tuesday nights after getting their ass kicked on Monday night, and they're probably going to win a handful of games and sneak into the playoffs and then not not scared a damn thing in the playoff. Yeah, I don't think the Micah Parsons thing is. He is a great player and arguably the best defensive player in the league. Don't get me wrong, but just there's the team he was on doesn't. They've had a lot of great players come and go, and it's been the same song and dance. Cornbread. So I'm not there.
Cornbread says fake. Someone on the text line says real. Tyler, real or fake, the Cowboys still have a shot to get to the playoffs even without Micah Parsons.
You know, I'll go real here.
Really?
In the most minute, smallest percentage chance, yes, they have a shot, and I think that's because you got a quarterback in Dak Prescott, and we all know how important the quarterback position is. So I'll give them a very minuscule shot, but not much once. But I'll say real.
I think fake. They feel like they got a good 4 or 5 wins in them to me.
I'm here for it.
Wouldn't shock anybody.
All right, like, I just, one, I mean, it just, I know they are used to drama. But this has been over the top, yeah, hell, right? You know what I mean?
This is how
a team can roll through this. We know off top, they got 4 games against the Eagles and the Commanders, and the Giants apparently, at least defensively, look better and better. They're, you know, I mean they've got some weapons, but they've got some weapons that also could just implode at any moment. Right, like you would think, oh, George Pickens coming up here pairing with CeeDee Lamb, but then it's like, are they really putting forth a group that says this is a place where George Pickens will figure it out with Brian Schottenheimer and all that?
Yeah.
Weird Matt Eberflus as the coordinator, so I don't. Yeah, I'm gonna say fake.
Well, that's the thing. I think it's real. Look, Matt was a really good defensive coordinator. The Cowboys stunk defensively with Micah. Can Matt turn this thing around and just get 11 dudes playing better than one ultimately? And offensively, they got the weapons. Can they score points? I think they'll score points. I think offensively, it'll be more of the same. So, yeah, look, I think it's real.
Matt Eberflus and Schottenheimer, they're running the show.
Ain't no worse than what's been running the show down there. It's the same. It's like, I mean, clearly, Jerry's been running the show with a bunch of coaches that clearly, you know, let him meddle the entire time.
Yeah. But,
I mean, it can't get. I mean, hell, the one coach they had that won a damn Super Bowl. I mean, not there, won it somewhere else. Hell, he was a mess.
I'm just saying that the blow up factor of these personalities getting away from them is pretty high to me with Schottenheimer and Eberflus and the gang leading the show. We'll see. All right. Real or fake, Tyler, the gap is officially over in college football. The SEC isn't a cut above the other conferences anymore. Real or fake?
Gap is shrinking.
This is
for
a
sure.
step for you. I mean, you're thinking about it.
The gap is shrinking.
This was a tough weekend.
Yeah, but, I mean, you still had South Carolina take care of Virginia Tech easily. You still had LSU go in and beat Clemson in their house.
Big win.
I'm going to say fake, but for now. I do see that gap closing,
able to, like, this thing is shrinking.
Yeah, I'm growing.
This isn't like it was before. Real or fake, Clint and the people, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Real or fake, the gap is officially over in college football. The SEC isn't a cut above the rest of the conferences anymore. Real or fake, Clint?
I think it's fake.
Okay.
I think the SEC is still the best conference in college football.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Without a doubt for me. And nothing changed it this weekend.
Yeah. I'm gonna go real here. It feels like to me, damn sure the Big Ten is every bit of what the from top to bottom the SEC is. Now the ACC and the Big 12, they're a cut below those other ones, but a lot closer now than you would look at it, man. And we'll talk about this a little bit more because I know you want to talk about one of your favorite players in college football. We'll do that coming up next. But I mean, what Alabama looked like this weekend, and again, Tyler, this is why for me, it isn't just this weekend. this week, Alabama has not looked like Alabama for, I mean, I think you could even say it at the tail end of Nick, right? And, you know, I mean, Texas, that didn't look great, I mean, at all going in Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State. Those teams have started to really come on. Notre Dame looks like they could play with the top of the SEC, and that was never the case to me. Even their good teams, we saw what Brian Kelly said. I got to get the hell up out of here because I'm not going to be able to compete with those teams. So I don't know, man. I think the gap has, especially with the Big Ten, has completely closed to where it's not just the SEC and then everybody else. I think. Because it used to be at the top, but now, man, that Alabama one, that was
a doozy. Now that was tough to watch, and that is a hell of a story, by the way. I mean, not only did Alabama get absolutely skull drug, there's a stat out there, there's a loafing stat out there, and a lack of physicality. And I mean, to think that a Saban coach football team, one of the most physical, one of the most disciplined, one of the most play one play at a time, full speed teams you've ever seen play the game, for damn near 20 years, turn around and in 1 year, all of a sudden, be a team that they got loafed 23 times, somebody said. I think that was the phrasing they were using. Unbelievable, yeah. No question. I got to see the Big Ten play somebody, though. I mean, outside of Ohio State and Texas, they didn't play a damn soul this weekend. So I got to see what they're about this a little more this year before I can make that call.
All right, yeah, it's been getting tight for a couple of years now. It's been getting tight. All right. Coming up, we will look at who may be getting up here to be Clint's favorite player in college football, and kind of build on more of what we saw. Boy, it may have been, and it's maybe not talked about as much, it may have been the most surprising thing we saw over the weekend. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Text line coming through. It's amazing how it all took. All it took for the rest of the pack to catch up to the SEC was players getting paid legally.
I wouldn't say the SEC. I'd say the top. I believe Ohio State and Michigan and Florida State. And I believe they USC. I believe there's been plenty of them out there paying folks now. I mean, Phil Knight didn't just jump on the scene in Oregon. I mean, hell, he's been on the damn sideline for a minute now.
Ain't nobody got nobody like Texas
A&M. Look, I mean, there's no doubt. To me, that's why I'm so disappointed at Arkansas right now. I mean,
a good win.
You know, it was a good win. Quarterback played well too. It's all about him. I loved watching. I'm talking about the program.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to right now, man. You can take everybody else's 4 and 5 stars that they bench. You can take them suckers. You can pay them. Come to your place, man. You can get them Tyson's and Walmart's and J.B. Hunt's and Stevens Inc. Man, get all that money in there. You can pay just as much as anybody in the damn country.
Yeah.
We over here jacking around.
Yeah, no, I know especially it's tough because to me, the biggest surprise of the weekend, we talked about it a little bit there at the end, but the biggest surprise of the weekend to me was it's all of it. Not just that Florida State beat them, but they beat the hell out of them. And it was clear from the jump. Like, it was a little bit like, oh, okay, they're going to be able to play with them. Then it was like, oh, no, like, they are going to dominate this thing. And that's where it really is. When you talk about you can get players anywhere, like, what Florida State had last year at the quarterback position, it should never happen to them or any schools like it. Should never happen to them. And it was clear right off the bat, Clint, Florida State had a huge advantage to the quarterback position in this game. And the kid from Alabama played hard and played tough late. But it was clear that dude was much better than what Alabama had to run out there. He played like Texas would have beat Ohio State. If they had that kid playing, that kid was at, what was he, at BC last year?
He was at BC last year, and him and Bill O'Brien got sideways. And Bill benched him. You know, he was playing well. I can't remember exactly all the details, but for some reason he got sideways with Bill. ended up quitting. He was done, and transfers to Florida State. And you know, the best part about this, I love what Florida State is doing. And look, it's personal. I like Mike Norvell. I like him. He's an Arkansas guy. Played at Central Arkansas. I know him. So I want to see him do well. I damn sure don't want to see him have the worst year.
You don't mind his coordinator, do you either?
My man Gus Malzahn, another Arkansas guy, man, and I'm a big fan of his. And then this Thomas Castellanos kid comes up from BC, runs from Bill O'Brien, the old square peg round hole king of them all, O'Brien.
Talk trash before the game.
Talk trash and said that Nick Saban ain't here to save him. And then that Florida State team goes out there and manhandles an Alabama team. I ain't never seen an Alabama team, man. Look, the Tyler, let me know. My first big college game my sophomore year, we went down to Tuscaloosa and we beat Alabama. And they weren't Nick Saban's Alabama, but they weren't no pushover. They weren't soft. They did not – like, that Alabama we watched Saturday was a rough – I cannot believe that's a Crimson Tide. I mean, Kalen DeBoer has got to be on the hot seat right now. Got to
so
be.
You think it's that it's, bad?
Yes. You can't – I mean, he better be lucky he's got a
Greg McElroy said he shouldn't be on the hot seat.
You're crazier than hell, Greg. I mean, look, like, getting beat, no problem. I ain't got a problem with you getting beat. You got the biggest shoes in college football, maybe history, to try to fill. I don't have a problem when you get beat. When your team quits, when your team lacks physicality, when your team doesn't hustle, and they were known for setting they were the gold standard for all of those different things. That program is going to hell in a handbasket with him, and they're softer than hot butter. They quit. They weren't physical, and Florida State fed it to them.
Oh my God!
I'm gonna tell you. Look, I mean this serious heart attack, and I do like Gus. No, Gus Malzahn, like him. What that dude's been able to do, like, you want to talk about in today's world of creating a physical offensive line. Like, think about what he did with, like, Darren McFadden and Felix Jones and Peyton Hillis at Arkansas. Then he goes with Cam Newton at Auburn and Nick Johnson.
I can't remember. Yeah, the quarterback.
Yes, yes. I mean, his ability to go places, and in today's game where you don't do a lot of hitting in camp or whatever, to create an offensive line when he's given equal to or greater than talent. He goes out there. He's put more offensive lines on the field that will just absolutely road grade you than a lot of people. Definitely at places like Arkansas and Auburn, and now the Florida States of the world. Man, it was fun to watch.
Yeah, that was wild. Like, that was it was
you
just
think Florida
like,
State's for real.
Yeah, in that conference. Yeah, I mean they got. I think Florida State, Clemson and Miami. Like, I think Clemson, they'll be fine.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
SMU, they all had SMU good over there. I think all of them look pretty good.
Yeah,
that ACC looks a lot different.
That's really the winner of Week One, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as you talk about, Carson Beck looks to be the real deal, and even better at Miami than he was at Georgia, which that was between his girlfriend leaving him, his Lamborghini getting stolen, and him looking like he's.
Well, it just never made sense that Florida State and Miami. Just didn't have.
Oh, dudes. No, I agree with you. I agree with you.
But they went and found quarterbacks, which should be easier to do now in this day and age. Like, I don't know how. That's my big thing with DeBoer. How is that your quarterback situation?
Which one's that?
The Alabama.
Ty Simpson?
Like, how is that your, at least coming in to compete, your quarterback situation? You're at Alabama. We saw what he did with Michael Penix Jr., And what he was able to do over there in Washington. He's won everywhere he's been, but that, like, it feels like he has been there 2 years and not had quarterbacks that allow him to do exactly what he wants to do with his offense. None of that offense in 2 years looks like anything they did at Washington.
Yeah, well, he definitely doesn't have Michael Penix Jr., but he is, I mean, look, I think Ty Simpson's probably a better fit to do what Kalen DeBoer wants to do, just technically, mechanically passing the football, better passer of the football. But he just got his guys let him down. I mean, that was, I was shocked.
Yeah.
I was shocked watching that game. And I like Florida State. I was shocked that Florida State was manhandling them boys the way they were.
I would like to say, to the Florida State, it was a big, big day there for them in Tallahassee. Their fans should be ashamed of themselves. Now they're getting a stupid little fine. for what they did. But Florida State should not be storming the field. All right, there are certain – listen, the three of us, and I know Tyler may disagree, but the three of us are all fans of universities of you beat a top 10 opponent, damn it, you're the type of university where your kids get to go and run on the field.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I've told you I don't love the storming the courts or the fields, the safety thing, but you Arkansas, Kansas, and A&M, you go beat a top 10 team, you get to storm that bad boy. I know Florida State went 2-10 last year. Florida State is not a storm the field program. I'm sorry. Bobby Bowden is rolling over in his grave somewhere.
And they say,
what about Jimbo?
They're storming the – you beat the number 8 team in the country. You manhandle them. They had time to think about the storm. I'm sorry. There's just certain universities aren't.
You ever watch Bobby?
I know. Texas, you go to Texas, you don't get to storm the field. That's taken away from you. You go to Baylor, storm it. You go to LSU, you don't get to storm the field. You don't. You've beaten Alabama a bunch of times. You don't storm the field. You don't.
I think it's fair.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I think you make a great point. There are certain universities.
What if I told you?
That don't get to do it.
I mean, you wait till you win it all?
You win it all. I don't know. You're probably at a neutral site.
Yeah, so you can't do it?
Yeah, you if you are a blue blood or blue blood adjacent, where you regularly beat top 10 teams, game day comes to your place a lot. Oklahoma, you don't get to storm.
Fair.
It's ridiculous.
I think it's fair. Well played.
That is, I couldn't believe they ran on that field like that. It ain't been that damn long. Hell, you were just 13-0 a year ago.
And didn't make
it. 2 years ago. You're Florida damn state. Deion somewhere pissed.
They came back with that old,
do that. Yeah. Tell you, man, Kansas beats West Virginia. Storm it. I don't even care what they're ranked. Storm the damn thing.
Be the top 25. Let's ride, boys.
I tell you what.
Who's going first? Don't hurt yourself going over the wall.
If Houston walks into Lawrence next year in the basketball arena and they walk in Allen Fieldhouse and they beat Houston and any of them bastards decide to try to get into an aisle, they ought to be stopped. They ought to be beat down and taken away. No, yeah, you don't storm at certain schools.
That's right.
UCLA, storm. Storm the Rose Bowl. USC, sit your asses down and cheer in them stands at the Coliseum. I can't believe they ran on that field like that. Are you kidding me? Peter Warwick is somewhere rolling around. Peter Bowler has just lost it. What you got coming up?
Game time Tuesday, baby. Look, it's game week. The Texans, we're opening the regular season. Texans at Rams Sunday at 3:25. What's going on out there on the West Coast, baby, that we need, as Texans fans, we need to keep an eye on? Huh? They got a couple little issues that may flare up out there that may help us significantly. We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 610.